Let us pray. Lord, we commit your own words unto your hands, so that, Lord, we pray that you speak to us, every one of us, so that we can hear you, so that we can come to you and follow you. May you exalt your own words and yourself, so that you are the center of our life as we live on earth, so that we can be faithful, so that the people behind us can be benefited and be encouraged. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last two times we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, and also chapter 6, 1 to 3. From chapter 5, 22 to 33, we looked at the way to a redeemed marriage. From chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, we look at the way to a redeemed relationship with parents. Today I would like to continue on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. If you like, you can read. I read once. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I would like to look at this verse with you this morning. The theme I would like to give to this verse is the way to a redeemed parenting. Who thinks parenting is difficult? Would you please raise up your hands? You think parenting is difficult? So few. Okay, who thinks it's easy? If you think it's easy, I'm sure you've never been a parent. I recently heard that Queensland government support Queenslanders can change the gender shown on their birth certificate. Normally, when a baby is born, the gender is assigned to him or her in the birth certificate based on their or his biological gender. Now they emphasize the right of choice to choose which gender they want to express themselves to be. If you are biologically male, you can now say that you are a female, because today I want you. Not only that, you might also have the right to tell other people you are a female when you were born in the past through changing the gender description on his birth certificate. Such an unthinkable falsehood. But nowadays, governments and many politicians are supporting this falsehood. What happened to the world we are living in? Is parenting easy in the world like this? No. Last week, we had a few Christians gathering together, share our recent experience to encourage one another. A mother talked about her university age daughter. Most of her daughter's friends are non-Christians. The daughter has a cousin in a de facto relationship and has another female cousin being married to a woman. The Christian mother worries that her daughter might be gradually accepting the surrounding world's behavior and values. She worries about her daughter is gradually influenced by them and even becoming one of them. The mother asks us what she should do now. How can she help her daughter? If you were there, how would you respond? Is parenting easy? No. Parenting nowadays is very difficult. Are you there to be a parent today? Yes, parenting is difficult and might be much more difficult than that is in the past. but God's word never changes. In the last weekend away in December, I heard Abraham speaking a message on awake from 1 Peter chapter 4. He encouraged us that we Christians should be awake because the world is changing and changing very fast and in a strange and wrong way. After listening to his message, instead of being encouraged, I was discouraged. Don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that Abraham's message was bad. It was good. It was very encouraging. It did make me awake. But awake me also the terrible change the world is now and is heading to. I was discouraged by this awakening that parenting will be so difficult now, and I worry about the younger generation. Something like the Israelites wanting to enter Canaan, the land of milk and honey, but the giants are so big that they just lose heart and give up. After a few weeks of the camp, I shared this worry to a young mother. I felt anxious for young parents for their challenging mission in their difficult years ahead. Then she responded to me something like this. God's words never change, haven't changed. You shouldn't be discouraged. His gospel hasn't changed. The power of gospel hasn't changed. We don't need to be discouraged. She was right. We don't need to be discouraged. Not because we are naive or ignorant of the evil world around us. We don't need to be discouraged because we have God and his powerful gospel. When I was young, I didn't know what is meant by having a baby. Both Yvonne and myself liked having a child, and God gave us joy. I knew parenting is hard, but I'm willing to try my best to do it. I grew up in a dysfunctional family. I saw negative examples of parenting. Now I was a Christian. I determined not to commit the same errors as my parents did. Don't show anger. And other things. Physical abuse. I should be able to be better. I thought by God's grace, I should be able to do it with Yvonne's help. Both Yvonne and myself were school teachers anyway. We should know better than others how to train children. I understood as a father, I was like God to my children. They can live only because I provided them food, clothes, shelters, toys, teaching, warnings, encouragement, discouragement, praises, reward, punishment, etc. It was not difficult for us to require them to listen to us because I thought I knew how to train them. I had a thought. If some people can train a dog to listen and be useful in the task assigned to it, why couldn't I train up my child to the person I want him or her to be? At that time, I didn't think of the fact that I was a sinner and my child was too. However, later I found that I failed badly because I often provoked my children to anger and hurt without knowing. I didn't understand Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, because I didn't pay attention to it. This is the scripture I would like to look at with you together today. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. As I mentioned before, the theme I want to give to this verse is the way to a redeemed parenting. I would like to look at this theme in three main points. One, fathers need to pay attention. Second, do not provoke your children to anger. Number three, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let us first look at the first main point. Fathers need to pay attention. Clearly, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 is specifically addressing to fathers. Why not mothers, but fathers? Or even simply parents? It is because in God's eyes, the responsibility of bringing or raising up children is father. Why? Because God assigns father to be the head of the family, not the mother. Of course, authority comes with responsibilities. Shoulder up most of the responsibility of the family. This is the mission God assigns to fathers. The mission to bring them up, bring the children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's why this verse addresses specifically to fathers. Therefore, all fathers should pay attention to his responsibility for his children, and hence pay attention to this verse. Does it mean that all mothers can go home now and enjoy the morning tea at the deck earlier? No. Because the mother is the helper of the father, helping and supporting the father to accomplish the God-given mission. Mother needs to listen carefully as well, so that they can know how to co-work with her husband to carry out his mission. God knows man by himself cannot bring up children properly. Man does need the helper, the help from his wife. That's why God made him a helper fit for him. The co-working of both parents is very crucial for bringing up children. Therefore, mothers also need to pay attention how to encourage the father when he's discouraged, how to fill the gap when her husband is not able to function adequately as a father as he should, how to counterbalance the husband when he's a bit off balance or too extreme, etc. You might say, this verse is not for me because I am not a parent yet. Even you are not a father yet, you might be a father in the future. Or even if God does not want you to be a father, this verse will be useful and relevant to you, because God might want you to father and care for the younger ones, the fatherless in his church. Therefore, though this verse is specifically to fathers who should pay attention, this verse is not irrelevant to anyone, so all should pay attention. Why father is so important in bringing up children? There are other reasons as well. For this, I would like to quote part of what Abraham shared in the Chinese co-worker retreat camp in Colorado last December, during a parenting workshop, when he talked to the Chinese parent. I quote the following because I agree with what he said. Mom was my primary carer and teacher. And as many of you know, she homeschooled me. I owe basically most of my life to her. Yet, strangely, when it comes to the more direct spiritual matters, I remember more to do with Dad than Mom, both the good and the bad. I'm not sure what it means. Perhaps it is because I am a son and sons hero worship their father. But it seems pretty clear that despite all often spending less time with the children directly, fathers have a disproportionate impact on the children's spiritual growth and especially on their sons. Another reason why fathers have disproportionate impact on their children's faith is that the Lord is also called our Father. And so for me as a young child, God was just a bigger, more powerful, probably more scary version of my earthly father. This took a long time to unlearn, but it is an inescapable fact that parents are like God to their children. The children look to their parents for both God's providence and God's word of command. And fathers, being fathers and sharing this same name with God are doubly at risk of misrepresenting God. If you are an absent or disengaged father, then your children will be struggle with an absent or disengaged God. If you are an angry father with a temper, then your children will struggle with an angry God with a temper. If your father, who becomes cold and distant when disappointed, then your children will struggle with a God who becomes cold and distant when disappointed. This, indeed, is a solemn warning to fathers. Be careful of how we live and how we relate with our children. Our provocation to our children to anger don't just damage them and make them angry at us. It could make them misunderstood God and hence even angry at God. This brings us to the second point. Do not provoke your children to anger. Paul said in chapter 6, verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger. Let us identify some provocation to children so that we can be warned and watch out from them. How parents can provoke their children? Or how you have provoked your children? Or are you currently provoking your children? Can you think of any examples? Not long after I migrated to Sydney, I'm fellowship with brother and sister at church on Sunday. One Sunday I saw a father throwing his temper, snapping his teenager daughter's face outside the church building hall, meeting hall, in front of other brothers and sisters around. I was one of them. Our anger can provoke our children to anger. Not only that, your uncontrolled anger can bring insult or even public insult to your children, which could cause them much damage and harm to both herself and her relationship with you. Comparison. Have you tried to compare your children with your friends' children? Have you said to your child, you are so lazy. I just don't know how why you can't study hard like Samuel. Or, you're so lazy. You should learn from Samuel how he can study diligently. Comparison can provoke your children to anger. You might say, I just wanted to use comparison to motivate my children to do better. If this is what you think, do you want your wife saying to you, you are so lazy. I just don't know why you can't work harder even to earn more money like Brother Fred. Or you are so inadequate. Why can't you be like Sister Carol's husband, Fred? Do you think you want your wife to motivate you in this way? We need to be careful. This kind of comparison are the corrupting talk mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. They are sins provoking your children's anger. Breaking promise. Breaking promise to children could cause disappointment and distrust if not provoking their anger. Sometimes it might be an unavoidable thing because life sometimes is not under our control due to unexpected things happening. But we should minimize it if it's under our control. I know of a young girl just finished high school. Her father promised to attend her graduation ceremony, but didn't turn up. she was first disappointed. When the ceremony was finished, a father of her classmate offered to take her back home with her mom. She was sitting there thinking, my classmate's father was here helping her, but mine was not. When she went back home, her father apologized to her, explaining he was with his friends. She thought she was not important in her father's eyes. His father wanted to compensate for breaking the promise that he will buy a photo frame to put her graduation photo on the wall of the home's lunch room. However, the father forgot the whole thing, and nothing happened afterwards. I know this sister very well. This sister was already a Christian at that time. She was deeply disappointed. Though she couldn't remember whether she had anger at that time, but her trust in her father was unavoidably undermined because of that. John and Pedro will have a recommissioning service this coming Saturday morning before they go back to Uruguay, which I promised to attend a couple of months ago. However, it has been decided recently there will be a memorial service in coming Saturday morning at Auburn for our dear elderly sister, Jane Wong. I struggled whether I should join the memorial service instead. John reminded me that if I don't join and serve in the memorial service, other brothers can replace me. If I don't go to her recommissioning service, no father can replace me. So I eventually decided to keep the promise to go to her recommissioning service. It is important for parents to keep their promise to their children. Even for something we see seemingly trivial in our eyes, but it might not be trivial in the children's eyes. Absence can also provoke children to anger. In the old days of China, you couldn't choose your job after graduation from school or universities. Everyone was assigned to different jobs at different places, sometimes far away from home. Therefore, some parents didn't live with their children. A lot of children had absent father and living with grandparents. In this case, your absence might not provoke your children to anger because it is not you who can choose. They might be sad, but may not be angry. However, if you are an absent father because you choose to work hard to earn more money, to get career advancement, or you are just a workaholic, your absence might provoke your children to anger. They know that they are not important in your eyes. Remember, there's only a short window of time in your children's life that you can spend your quality time with them. When they are older, they don't have time for you, including when you are older in your retirement. About 50 years ago, there was a song written called Cats in the Cradle. Harry Chapin and Sandy Chapin wrote it. I read it out to you. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking, for I knew it, and as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna to be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna to be like you. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let us play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. He said, I'm gonna to be like him, yeah. You know I'm going to be like him. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head. And they said with a smile, I really like that. Is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? And the cats in the cradle and the silver moon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you, if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job is a hustle, and the kids have the flu. But it's sure nice to talk to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he had grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver moon, little boy blue and the man in the moon, when a coming home son, when you coming home son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We are gonna have a good time then. The writer of the above song, as far as I know, they are not believers. But it is a shame that today there are some Christians who don't have the wisdom shown in the song and continue to be an absent father. I had this problem in the past. I have to admit that. So, but please note that not only your personal interests or friends or work or career or your selfish ambition can make you an absent father. Even your enjoyable meetings and laborious ministry at church can also make you an absent father. If you ignore your children due to serving the church, your children probably grow up to dislike your church. The worst for them is to dislike God. We need wisdom and faith and faithfulness to make choices pleasing to the Lord with limited resources like time and energy. Nevertheless, the father's responsibility is to involve and help their children to follow God and serve his church. But not just himself, to follow God and serve his church. Apology. Parent who does not say apology after offending children can provoke them to anger. When is the last time you say sorry sincerely to your children and ask for forgiveness after offending them? Or when is the last time you say sorry sincerely to your spouse, that is your children's parent, after offending him or her, and ask for forgiveness? If you can't remember, because it has been a long, long time ago, does it mean that you never offended your, you seldom offended your children or your spouse, or never offending them for a long, long time? Or you're a person seldom saying sorry and ask for forgiveness? Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy provokes your children to anger. Our children do not only can see our hypocrisy, but also can smell it, because they know us very well. Therefore, it is important to live a sincere life before children. We can't live a perfect life, but we should learn to live a sincere life before God and children. Abusive words provoke children to anger. The father said to her teenager daughter, "Why are you so dumb, so useless?" Have you heard of that before? I heard that. Physical abuse. Of course, physical abuse provokes children to anger. Especially physical abuse to your wife, who is your children's mother. This is not a sin in God's eyes only. It is a crime by the law of the society. This has to be stopped, even by calling the police. The last example I would like to mention is the unreasonable disappointment with the children and the falling rejection to the children. For example, a perfectionist father sets his standard unreasonably high for his son because he wants the son to grow well. His son is not up to the father's unreasonably high standard as we normally expected. Then the father is disappointed with the son. If in addition, the father expressed his disappointment with rejection to the son, for example, by showing coldness and distancing from the son, this could also provoke children to anger. Even worse, the child will then develop an impression of God being harsh and struggle with a God who becomes cold and distant when the child feels that the God is disappointed with him. This is an image or impression of a harsh God of conditional love. I have to admit that this provocation was what I have committed to my children in the past. This provocation caused them to feel rejected, sad, and angry. They may have been hopeless with my unreasonable high standard and harsh expectation, feeling fed up with pleasing me anymore. I don't have any physical abuse or violent abuse to my children, to my family. But this can be emotional abuse. They might also have caused rebellion toward me and toward God, who was misrepresented by me, the Father, and fed up with pleasing God anymore. My parenting failure caused me to see my blind spot of my provocation to my children. That's how I thought. I loved them. I loved my children. But actually, I was continuously hurting them. Actually, my so-called love was not God's love, but my own human self-centered love. Gradually, I discovered my mentality towards my children as a father is actually reflecting my own deep down impression of God towards me. This is how I projected God thinking of me. I was a perfectionist. I set for myself a high standard and expectation. I thought I needed to meet the standard in order to please God. Otherwise, God would be disappointed with me. I thought if God was disappointed with me because I was not good enough, he would be distant from me and become cold to me, doesn't like to be with me. That's how my previous understanding of God's love to his children was a conditional love. I needed to be good in order for him to love me and to treasure me. In my head and out of my mouth, I said God's love towards his children was unconditional. But somehow, I subtly thought God's love towards me was partially conditional. I found that I had this mentality since I was a teenager. This distorted view of God and his love affected my relationship with God for many years, including the years when I was fathering my two children. And this distorted view of God and his love affected my parenting and caused damage to them. In the last Chinese co-worker retreat parenting workshop, when Abraham shared one of his experiences with my disappointment and coldness and distance towards him due to one of his table tennis competitions, I was uncontrollably broken down. At that time, I was supposed to translate for him into Mandarin from English on the stage to Chinese parents down there. The reason I was so emotional at that time is that I felt so very sad to my slowness in learning the truth of God's love and his gospel. That not only affected myself so negatively, I suffered a lot because of this distorted view, but made me much more sad is this mentality affected so negative to the children I love so dearly. I wish I should have had my mind and mentality transformed by the truth of God and his love more thoroughly, much earlier. I didn't. Praise God for his mercy. Though we failed, he has grace to redeem what we failed and lost. This is the gospel. The gospel has redeeming power to save everyone who believes. Though painful, God has used the parenting process to teach me deeper what is the true gospel. The gospel is grace and love. Love of God freely given in grace for those who are willing to receive. This brings us to the third point. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Paul said, bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Discipline. The original Greek word discipline in the New Testament has both negative and positive meanings. Positively, it refers to training, educating. Like Acts chapter 7, mentioning about Moses being instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. Like Acts chapter 22, mentioning about Paul being educated at the feet of Gamaliel, his teacher. Negatively, the word refers to chastening, like in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about teaching someone through causing him to feel pain and loss, or bring sadness to the learner to teach him to understand sins have consequences. Instruction. The original Greek word instruction refers to instruction, warning, exhortation, strong encouragement. Of the Lord. This is most important. The way to bring up children is by the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The discipline and instruction of the Lord are revealed in his words in the Bible. Therefore, to bring up children is to rely on by the word of God. It is of the Lord, of the new man in Christ, not of the old man in us. As Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, to Ephesians Christians, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To bring up children, we ourselves need to be renewed by the gospel of the Lord. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We need to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ. The mentality of ourselves, the value, the attitude and mind of our own old self has to be put off, replaced by the mentality, the attitude of the new man. As we bring up our children, we need to discipline and instruct them with the gospel of grace and love of the Lord. We ourselves need to learn to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. We need to discipline and instruct them not only with our words, much more importantly, it is through our examples, the manner of our walk, the heart attitude and mentality behind our words. Therefore, basically, all the scripture in Ephesians chapter 4 to 6, which Paul talked about the manner of Christian walk, are all relevant to parenting, which most of them we have looked at in previous message. I would like to use chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, the first part, to summarize or to express. Paul said, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us. As parents, including fathers, we need to learn to relate with God as His beloved children. This is the gospel. The more we know God and His love through the gospel of grace, the more we know how to relate with our God, we will know more how to relate with our children and bring them up. Because a lot of time, our relationship with God, our impression of God, affect our relationship, how we relate with our children. In this case, also, the more we walk in love as Christ loved us, in parenting. There is no shortcut. It is not just parenting techniques. It is our whole being in Christ. How do we relate to our spouse, our parents, our brother and sister in Christ? These are all part of parenting. Because all these are impacting our children. If so, who can bear this responsibility? We ourselves are so sinful, self-centered, weak, inadequate, even broken. Yes, we are not able to be good parents to bring up children. But praise God, He can. God is not a harsh master, but our loving Heavenly Father. God is gracious. His love towards Christian parents are unconditional. His grace is sufficient for us. His gospel has redeeming power. He can regain the land we lost for Himself. For parenting, the most important as parent the most important and urgent issue for us is to now turn to God. Let God be the center of our life. Let God have the liberty to deal with even the most stubborn part or stronghold in our life, in our heart, so that He can shine light on our blind spot to equip us, to enlarge us, to co-work with Him in parenting our children. Through this, God wants to transform us to be more like His Son. Last week, a friend hasn't contacted me for many years, unexpectedly called me. He told me his wife wants to divorce him. He is very scared. Scared for himself, for his marriage, and for his children. I encourage him to turn back to God and repent. Trust God and allow God to transform him. Yesterday, he told me, though he has been a Christian for many years, in the past, he lived a life seeking other things in the world to be the center of his life, but not God. He now wants to let God to be the center of his life. He wished God also can be the center of his family. I think all of us should all turn to God. Let Him be the center of our life. Learn to cling on Him as His beloved child. Relate to Him, enjoying Him. Let Him help us to enjoy Him and His love. And learn to love Him. As we learn to do that, He can guide us in relating to our spouse, to our children. This also applies to the Christian sister worrying about her university daughter I mentioned at the beginning. God can make a way. I thought about the American missionary Adoram Judson in the 19th century. He served the people in Burma more than 40 years. He was brought up in a Christian family. But later, when at his college time, he got a very good friend. I don't know how to pronounce the name, maybe MS. This friend, MS, is a deist and skeptic. Deist means people believe there's a God created the world but abandoned the world. And this friend, MS, is a very devout deist and skeptic. So, Adoram is very close to him. Because of that, he forsook his childhood faith. I can imagine how broken heart his parents are. But God can make a way. One time when he's traveling, he stayed in a motel. At night he heard a man crying very pitifully, very pitifully. And next day morning, he thought the man seems dying. Next day morning, the innkeeper told that the man has died, and his name to Adoram. He found out this man is MS, his good friend, devout deist and skeptics. This shocked Adoram, and he turned back to God and offered his life to God. God can make a way if we are willing. I would like to stop here. May we all be encouraged, no matter whether you are parents now or you are parents in the future. Hope that the thing I share with you today, even if you are not a parent now, you can remember that, so that you can prepare yourself. Know God's love as soon as possible. Know God who He is as soon as possible. Try to take away all the distorted view of God and gospel so that you can be a better father or mother to bring up your children in the future. Never too early. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that you impress your own scripture in our hearts. And we pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit translate any missing thing, any gaps, so that we can hear you clearly and know your word clearly and know how to trust you and follow you. We thank you so much for your powerful gospel and your grace and love and the redeeming power. But we pray that you give us faith to trust in you and go back to you so that you can be the center of our life, no matter what we are doing. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.